Well, we have as our guest today someone who's done a lot of research on a subject that is pertinent to world history. His name is Darrell Bradford Smith. He has a website that has devoted itself to all this research. He has posted on his website a number of very, very extensively researched and valid documented works on the subject of Zionism in world history. Darrell, are you with us?
Sophia, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm quite well, thanks. Just getting back underway here, second half of my day. It's nice to be with the listeners.
Yes. Well, Darrell, you heard about the Larry Silverstein lawsuit, the
mm-hmm.
second now of two major lawsuits. And what? How do you view this?
It's just more of the same. It's just this man using the system that they control in an act of theft, as it was in the first instance when he first received the $4.3 billion. Essentially, he's bringing the lawsuit into a courtroom where all of the members and players are already stacked up in his favor. You'll notice that this Judge Hellerstein, in almost every instance when it came to bringing justice for the families of the victims, when they were trying to dig deeper into the causes of 9/11, they were thwarted because of the control this group has, and it's indicative of the control that's expressed across the country in almost every area of public life.
Yes. Now, when you say the control that this group has, are you referring to the Zionist cartel that operates
yes.
worldwide?
Undoubtedly, yes.
Yes. Also, I'm wondering, you know, the particulars of the lawsuit, it's targeted at the airlines and the airline security, which I believe the airline security was Israeli-controlled in the
It was, in fact, yes. It was CTIS, Cutley International, which is a company that was founded by children of a founding member of the Mossad. Yeah.
So, what to me, this is a charade of sorts. You know, so I'm trying to figure out what it really is about. Is it just is it just a game that's being played on the surface while other things are being shuffled underneath the card table? You know.
We probably won't know exactly what the purposes of this is, but I got to say, it seems to me on many fronts there's desperation in their ranks, because the alternative press that was once a very small part of truth or of informing the public worldwide is now becoming a much more powerful force, and it is the only thing that can defeat them is the truth, and the truth was not getting out in the hands of their own press organs. So it seems a very poorly timed move on their part, because I don't see a single hope that they're going to get away with this with the flow of history. It's certainly stacking up against them in almost every in every quarter.
Now, you're no longer talking about the lawsuit. You're talking about the machinations in general.
Well, yeah, but the lawsuit is just an element of this larger crime scam that's been going on here, and I mean, you can, you know, $12 billion sounds like a lot of money these days, but when you talk about $600 trillion with a T that has been milked and bilked from the world's economy through the derivatives fraud and the rest of that, I mean, we're talking, you know, we're talking pennies, the billions. I mean, these people are so adept at stealing things that, nothing surprises me about new ways they come up with to do it.
Yeah, well, it seems to be generally extortion, you know,
yeah.
And the diverting of funds from all of us. First, the creation of fake money that circulates in our lives and fetters us. It puts chains around us, because we don't know. If someone prints a bunch of fake money, how would I know about it unless I'm urged to borrow it and go into debt and then pay interest? So that's how I become part of the web, you know?
Well, you're kind of forced to become part of it because, you know, in a modern world, there needs to be some medium of exchange.
Yes.
And in truth of fact here, we have to participate in a system that's doing us in, short of having another system built up around our lives. And, of course, you know, barter systems are springing up places and things of that nature, but still, even in those instances, you still have to participate at some level. So you're going to enter into their control system regardless of your wishes. It's kind of a done deal.
And many have entered into the system as players. You know, there are people who are not Zionists who are part of the system and feel that they may be protected or they may be indelibly and forever part of the system. But I think nobody is spared in the end. This is a system that will do us all in, all of us.
And if you take a look at the things they've done in the medical field, which you have done with your, and I must applaud your last interview. It points to the fact that there is an interest in actually causing the death of many. So. They've got away with so far with murdering over 140 million people in the last 120 years. So, and I believe that will probably be ramped up exponentially in the near future. Here, there is a concerted effort by this group to kill us, kill the non-controllers, and sadly, it looks like in some ways it's working.
Well. Some say if they kill everybody, then who's left for them to play with? But I think they intend to leave a certain number of people on the planet that they can continue to experiment with. And that may be with other forms of control or biological experimentation. I think there's something about the human being that is desired by the controllers. I don't know what it is. If this is an attempt to control our free will in the end and make us robotic and believe we're free, you know, that is the most delightful deception that one could cook up.
Well, if you take a look at a parallel form of servitude that we imposed upon the African community back in the slave period, then you can see that same system is being imposed or wants to be imposed on the rest of us now. It basically was a feudal system, the slave system was. And you'll notice that these same forces were instrumental in that trade as well. So they're actually going forward to the past is what they're doing. But they figured out that even with all of the things we have today as a modern world, we're not able to stop what they want to do easily. Now I say easily because I think we are stopping them in a larger picture. It's not going to come pain-free, of course, but it's a frightful place to think that we would find humanity at this point in our history. But sadly, technology has allowed these people to exponentially represent themselves in the world in such a way that they can really do a lot more pressuring of populations. You know, with the surveillance society that is building up around places like Britain and France and the United States, they can really express their control in a larger way than they've ever been able to before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually the technology is giving them an edge in control, but the technology of information is doing them in on the other side. So there's a battle going on here. It's a pitched battle. You know, we're right in the middle of it, you and I and all the listeners are. And how it's going to turn out is anybody's guess. I mean, there's so many wild cards that could still be played at this point.
Well, let's talk a little bit about history. The ascension of a small group, how they became controllers, and what is their overriding interest or overarching interest to have a place, a country from which they can operate and do all this? I mean, Israel was created as part of the Zionist plan.
It was indeed, but it was done at the urgings of a very small group at the top, and principally one group. Mr. Rothschild's family could be identified in that, along with a Warburg element and an Oppenheimer element, and a few other names. But it goes back far longer than that. You know, you can see the emigration of the goldsmiths out of Italy into France during the reign of Charlemagne with Catherine de' Medici, and you'll see the subsequent rise of France through their financial largesse that France became a superpower and was bathed in gold and wonderful paved streets and beautiful city centers designed and maintained by these same forces. And you know, they kind of go from host to host. They're a parasitic system, and they find the next host to latch onto and use that host as their springboard into control. They moved from France, of course, under the Sun King over to Britain, and then they used the British far-flung empire to start taking larger swaths of the world. And then from there, now, of course, after they had their two world wars, they moved into the United States and used America's dollar-backed reserve world currency as their means of expansion. And now they're bringing that to a close. And looks like they're moving toward India at the moment, or are hoping to as their center. India with, of course, their center being Jerusalem as their capital. But they'll use India's great population as a springboard.
We'll be back after the break with more.
Are you?
We're coming back now with Daryl Bradford Smith. This is Sophia on Expansion with RBM. And Daryl, I was looking at the blurb on the front cover of a very famous book by General Smedley Butler.
Yeah.
You know the book, War is a Racket? And here's a quote from the book. It's on the front cover. I spent 33 years in the Marines, most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. It strikes me, you know, that there are a lot of euphemisms used. Butler could as well be saying I was a racketeer for Zionism, don't you think?
Exactly what he was. He was a stooge for Zionism, and as are all military people in all of the principal Western countries.
Yeah. Right, but the book itself is marketed as an anti-war book, and it's about the, you know, venal motives of people on Wall Street, in the White House, in the military, and it talks about a corrupt military-industrial complex eager to murder both foreign and native-born children for the sake of profit. So to me, it seems this is avoiding mention of your idea of the central cabal.
Well, of course, because that's the third rail of life. You touch it and you die. You die a thousand deaths when you touch that third rail, because their system is set up to quash and destroy anybody who ventures into the truth. And it's always been that way. You can take a look at a great man, wonderful man, and even a man that preceded Mr. Butler, a man named Archibald Moll Ramsey, a Sandhurst graduate, which is the West Point of Britain, much longer history in this school, Eton School. He was a man of cultivation and education. He went up against the crime network, and they destroyed him. They destroyed his life, his finances, his world. And, you know, Mr. Butler was playing it safe. Other generals have come out and said, talked around the main issues because of fear of family being injured or, you know, or being financially destroyed or you know, such terrible things that, in some instances, you know, just vicious murder. It takes on many forms, but we have had people throughout history willing to stand up and name them and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are the people killing the planet. No doubt about it.
Now, let's go back to Archibald.
I think I have to qualify something here, because this is an important caveat. It's not all Jews involved in this. Certainly that would be a lie for anyone to say that. And I will battle that statement all the way to my grave, because I have seen clearly that Zionism is an element within Judaism, as it would be to say. I mean, if you try to blame all Protestant Christianity on everybody within that group, when let's say it was the Baptist doing it, or was the Methodist doing it, or if it was the Pentecostalist doing it, basically what you would be saying is that everybody's bad because this group is bad. Or another a better analogy would be all Italians are bad because the mafia is Italian.
Right, I understand. I don't think that we need to spend a whole
lot
of time.
Well, I do need to qualify that,
that
because there are hate laws involved in this stuff that can
right.
put people like me in jail.
But we
where
are talking
I live.
About
no,
a
I live
small
in Europe,
group
and,
at the top.
And they can have me jailed as they have had so many others already jailed for this and try to take terrible revenge upon me. And they're starting to do it more and more aggressively as we speak.
Well, they do it in the United States, and they do it, you know, preemptively, as they did with the architect Richard Gage. The Simon Wiesenthal group lashed out at him at 911truth.org and at 911sharethetruth. And said that they were all the equivalent of jihad terrorists. And
yeah, but they don't put him in prison, and that's what happens here.
Well, you would think that there's a process. They will do that first, and I don't know.
Well,
maybe they might
you know, the interesting thing is here you can be convicted of a crime against this group without being able to bring proof to show your innocence.
Right. So you can just be accused.
Accused is good enough as good as a conviction, and that conviction actually becomes part of their part of law. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What strikes me as very odd is that one isn't allowed to muse over this, even in a public setting. Like I'm with you on the radio, and I'm asking you what you know, and that already is enough to get people in trouble. This isn't to be discussed. So it's almost like a form of thought control.
It is thought control, yep, absolutely.
And we aren't allowed to know who is really hurting us. We just have to be hurt and be destroyed gradually and be willingly accepting and overjoyed to be, you know, extinguished from the planet. So this.
Well, there are always going to be some of us willing to put our heads above the parapet, Sophia, and take whatever incoming fire is sent our way. And then there's going to be others out there who know the truth and cower down in a corner. Now, there are people who have stood up in history. This man Ramsey, one of them. Of course, he wrote a book called The Nameless War. He identifies the individuals from the British aristocracy that were infiltrated through Zionist Jewish money. As perpetrators of a whole host of criminal acts and control acts, but he's not alone in that. There were others such as Nesta Webster, whose husband was the Governor General of India. She wrote a book about these people's crimes and the way they were criminalizing the world's governments, and she was also marginalized for her efforts to.
We're here again with Daryl Bradford Smith, and he's discussing some very interesting books on his website, which cover a number of different angles of this Kabbalistic control of the world. And he just mentioned Nesta Webster, and that seems to be a book about occultism and secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that the Zionists infiltrated the Freemasonry ring in Europe and took control of that. Is that right?
It is true, yes.
And
yeah.
So, Daryl, how much do you know about the occult aspect of this? Why there is that kind of practice, what it symbolizes? Because that's very scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's the element of Satanism that's... I guess Mal Ramsey and others talk about the political moves and the paralysis induced by political control, but there's something else in this kind of subject.
Well, there is. Archibald Maul Ramsey actually gives you an insight into the immorality of the group, which actually springs from their belief system. And Nesta Webster actually tells you the places where they are working on destroying morality, both within their own ranks and that around them. And so, yes, but they have infiltrated many groups. Of course, Freemasonry being one of them, the Grand Orient part of Freemasonry in the Paris Grand Orient Lodge. But occultism in this group seems to be their underlying glue that holds them together. It gives them their raison d'être, if you will, their way to express themselves out in the world, and gives them justification and rationalizes their crimes. They believe, Kabbalists believe, that all things that happen on the earth are of God, good and bad. So with that kind of thinking, it is inculcated into their thinking that then bad works are also godlike, and if you do bad things in this world, you're working from the left hand of God, and when you do righteous things to help people, you're working from the right hand of God. And so it's really a rationalization for being a criminal and a murderer and a usurper and a liar and whatever other nasty thing you can describe them as. But they really don't think like you and I. There is a psychopathic, sociopathic thoughts, methods to their crimes that they don't seem to be fazed by. And, you know, to view you and I as nothing more than cattle, equal to a dog or a chicken or a cow, is sick. That is psychotic. That is not a real representation of reality, which is truly the description of psychosis, in my view.
Now, Adam Weishaupt, who started the Illuminati, was a Jew who converted to Catholicism, who then became a Satanist, right?
He was never a Catholic. He was a crypto-Jew who used Catholicism as an ends to a means to an end. The concept of teleological suspension of ethical principles comes into play here, where you can suspend your moral belief system in your own religion, or in the religion of the host one that you're moving toward, in order to meet the ends that you're interested in. There's another man doing that right now, and have been on many through history. Nicolas Sarkozy claims to be a Catholic, and yet his whole family's history goes back to Zionist Judaism in Salonika, Greece. And there are direct links to him in his family's work that brought down the caliphate in the Ottoman Empire 120 years ago. You'll find John Kerry in the same group. You'll find Madeleine Albright and General Clark, and you'll find this guy Howard Dean, and across the country there are what we call crypto Zionist Jews who claim to be Christians and yet practice the Kabbalistic form of criminal Judaism.
And when you say they practice the Kabbalistic form of Judaism, you're differentiating this from just them being aligned with Zionist ideals, right? You're saying these are people who actually practice something quite different from what they appear to be representing on the surface.
Well, I mean, I don't go to their services with them, so I don't know who they're bowing down to, but I do know what they do, judged upon their acts and judged upon the evidence that comes forward. I mean, take a look at Madeleine Albright's decisions that she made, and take a look what happened as a result of this criminal Secretary of State that we had, or worse still, take a look at Mr. Kissinger, this venomous, vile criminal that murdered. Goodness knows how many he's killed. So their acts give them away, because there is no humanity in any of the acts that they commit.
Now, are you familiar with the subject of mind control?
Yes, MK Ultra and the rest, sure.
Yes, so would you say that, I always ask, and other people do too, how can they do this? How can they be so depraved? How can they execute orders that are this destructive, blatantly destructive? But they do, and they do it every day. So is there some form of conditioning that they have undergone that prevents them from seeing their actions in a...
Yes, there is. Yes. First of all, they're told that they are the inheritors of the world and that they are the chosen and that they are the end-all and be-all to all of the world's power structures and whatnot. And they're given examples of this, not just the words, and they can see it expressed in their own lives. So if you're brought up on a diet of this throughout your life and you're handed power and they nurse you into your actions throughout your youth and into your university years and then afterwards into your career, you go right along with the flow of things. And if the agenda at the top is already vile and very violent and criminal, and you've already been inculcated into this mindset, you're just going to become a foot soldier in the crime gang. Not very different than if you examined a mafia and how a young boy in an Italian family could grow up to be, a terrible mafia murderer. And it doesn't happen from being a child all the way to that murderer in one step. It happens in baby steps throughout their life.
So it's a conditioning process. And also there's an expression called existentialism that Kay Griggs brought up in her interviews. And I know you've interviewed her yourself, and I've
several had times, yeah.
conversations with her.
Yeah.
And she says over and over that existentialism is defined as the end justifying the means.
That's right. That's the teleological suspension of ethical principles. Yeah, that's right.
So they are told this is the goal. We have too many people on the planet. We must reduce the numbers.
That's right.
Tough, it's a kind of tough love, I guess you could say. And in some ways, as you were talking, I was thinking maybe this is part of an organic process, the way that a spider spins a web with sticky threads and an insect comes and sits on it and gets stuck. And then the spider goes and pierces the insect and injects venom into it. Or, maybe I'm combining my different kinds of spiders, but maybe this is part of the natural world. I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine ways in which it could fit in the big picture, but...
Well, there is a natural selection that goes on in the leadership of these group. I mean, if you are disposed to kindness, and you're not going to make it up the ranks to become one of their, principal henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
This is in some ways a meritocracy as you rise up into the crime gang, and you've got to show levels of depravity in order to be successful.
Yeah. So,
and it's a selective process. They don't pick you out of the crowd and say, "Ooh, this guy brings flowers to his mother on Mother's Day, and doesn't kick puppies. This other one does. This one never brings flowers and kicks all the puppies. Oh, we're going to pick the puppy kicker to be the next leader of this particular arm of the group."
So
yeah.
there's a division among those who study the upper echelons of control, and there's one camp that feels it's all Jesuits and Freemasons and Satanists, and those are of Christian bent, but they're inclined in a very dark way. And then there's the camp that says no, it's entirely a Zionist movement, and it's those people who are at the top.
That's right.
So I'm interested. One day I'd like to have people on from both camps so they could discuss their views.
Their views are a nonsense, 100%. It's a deception. Now, clearly, I'll give you a good example. 7 out of 10 billionaires in America are Zionist Jews. Not a single Jesuit is a billionaire. To say that the Jesuits are out there doing this stuff is such a nonsense and a lie that it fell flat on its face from the first day that it was uttered. It's a lie. And it's this control group out there in force, and you'll find them throughout the movement of truth-telling, or it's a bad term for this, of scammers out there trying to use this alternative press as a way of confusing the issues. Certainly it's just a nonsense.
So that's another mask, then.
Sure, absolutely, and they're the best at deceiving. You bet. That's how they've got as far as they've gone. I've gone is is through deception and then enforcement. They've got enforcement arms and deception arms and communication arms, and then they've got the financial clout to back up all of these different segments of their control. And what you see expressed in the real world certainly is a mirror of their decision-making process, and very little of it represents the truth.
Explain, very little of it represents the truth.
Yeah, the, what you see expressed in our daily press, or in the actions of our militaries, or in the interactions between governments of the world and so forth, very rarely are those representative of any truth in the things that really go on in this world. And, you know, I think everybody in the listening audience and in the world has always known that somehow there was a severe disconnect between what they were told and what is really happening in the world. And they didn't understand what the reason for that disconnect was or is, and I'm telling you what the reason is. It's as clear as the nose on your face once you've taken a look at these facts.
Well, I read in one of the texts on your website the term process of paralysis, that's the real effect of what's happening. They're paralyzing the entire world and running it. And it also seems to me that there's a concurrent process of blindness going on, because that the subject of Zionism is avoided at all costs by so many people for fear of being labeled, you know, anti-Semitic. In the United States particularly, there's such a strong Jewish lobby working every news desk, and, you know, it's all through media, entertainment, everywhere.
Yep, that's
politics.
Right.
And the Congress is bowing and scraping to Israel all the time.
Well, that's because most of them have got photographs or videos of them with small children, or being bent over a table by some man or with another man, or they're at their hands in somebody's pocket stealing or something, and they're extorted. And you'll notice that all of the strip clubs and gay bars across America have connections back to the Jewish community, because that's where they harvest their people. You won't find a politician, almost to a man or woman, that makes it to the top who has not been completely and thoroughly compromised.
Now, explain what you mean about the strip clubs. You said to the Jewish community. What do you mean?
Well,
by
our opening today, your opening today with Silverstein, he started out his criminal activities at Runway 69 in New York. He was an owner of a strip club.
Yes, he made money in porn.
And porn, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, all these places have had VIP rooms, and you'll notice that Spitzer's recent fall from grace, of course, was another element within this. I mean, people fall victim to their own inner demons, and then these people are there to take advantage of it. And you're given an ultimatum, you know, you either join and lockstep with us, or you go down in flames.
Yeah, and now, do you think the women in the Congress, the female senators and representatives, are also similarly compromised?
I don't see any indication that they're not, except that many of them are actually Zionist Jews. Hartman and the rest.
Feinstein.
Yeah, I Feinstein and all of these others. Yeah, I see about 40 or 50% are from the Jewish community. I'd say many of them are just not aware of the depth of this criminal gang, and then others of them are probably compromised financially. Yeah, like Geraldine Ferraro, you know. When she was working in the government, the halls of government, her whole family was on the hook for all kinds of criminal acts.
Because they had been kind of, it's our free will, it's our choice to engage in a criminal act.
Well, no, but see, they don't get to that position to ever get offered a job of vice president or president or whatever without having been caught at crime in the first place. So you're selected out as being a perfect candidate for Congress by the fact that you can be blackmailed and criminalized. And that's where the fund flows start and the grassroots assistance monetarily. And you'll see a lot of money flows out of New York into local elections around the country at every cycle to help bolster candidates that this group wants into office, regardless of what office it is. if it's an important office for them to control a money's flow from their coffers into the person they've selected to control the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is all it is that paralysis process at work. It's very alarming to think that it's so successful. That's what I don't really understand. How could it be so successful?
Well, it started out as a moderately sized conspiracy some 300 years ago, and as the systems that they actually used, these parasitic systems they put in place, grew with the world, their influence grew, and now it's become a systemic control that they possess. It's not just an individual control, but rather the systems that have been put in place over the last 300 years were designed to benefit them. The diplomatic methods we use, the United Nations is an arm of their control. The World Health Organization, of course, is a criminal organization going out and committing eugenic acts and acts of murder on a scale never heard of before. Through inoculation and whatnot.
Well, we'll be back after.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a...
My Friday show, during which I have the great pleasure of learning more and more and more. RBN has a chat room these days on the homepage, and listeners can talk to each other that way. So you might want to try it. We also have a call-in number. If you want to ask questions of the host or the guest, and that's 800-313-9443. Now, Daryl, I wanted to ask you a little more about this Christian evangelical movement that is all about Zionism, it seems, deep at its core. Is this part of the formation of a drive to, I'll let you finish the sentence.
Well, It seems like the leadership of these movements, the Hagees and the Robertsons in the world, have been placed there intentionally and given ample funding through programs like the 700 Club or large churches or large investments to funnel people into a belief system that that is, for the most part, based upon a fraudulent history. And, you know, these people are already in a weakened state, in my view, based upon their desire to follow things without investigation. You know, it seems to me most people in this world are frightened, and I include myself in that group. We're all frightened for one reason or another, and we're looking for answers, and many people turn to religion for answers, and oftentimes what they find there instead of answers is control, deception, and false beliefs. And the Christian groups that have followed world Zionists to this criminal end are certainly in that group.
Seems to me that people do want to be saved, and I have an online store. If you go to 911weknow.com, you just click on the store, and you will see a huge array of DVDs. One that I just brought in was Jesus Camp. Now, have you seen this film, Daryl?
Jesus Camp, no.
It's extraordinary. It's very understated, but very effectively done, and it shows the control of the thinking of small children in the effort to make them soldiers to fight for a Zionist cause.
Yep.
And there's apparently the Freemasons set out in the 1860s or 70s, Albert Pike, this plan to divide the three theocratic religions of the world. And the first plan was to divide to align the Judeo-Christian groups and pit them against the Muslims, and that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah, but in history, they use that term Judeo-Christian. Christians have always been in opposition to Jews. In fact, when the whole formation of Christianity was in opposition to the way the Pharisees were working their criminal gangs back in the day. The fact of the matter is that to say that we're in the same mindset is really not reading any history that is accurate. Everything that Judaism in its form back at the time of Christ, if you're to believe all of those historical things as being true, are certainly in opposition to Judaism, not in support of it.